Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Grenville Strategic Royalties' third quarter 2015 results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has difficulties hearing the conference, you may press star zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that today's discussion may contain forward-looking statements that reflect current views with respect to future events. Any such statements are subject to risk and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those projected in the forward-looking statements. For more information on Grenville's risk and uncertainties related to these forward-looking statements, please refer to the company's management information circular dated April 16, 2015, which is available on SEDAR. Today's call is being recorded November 17, 2015. I would now like to turn the meeting over to William Tharp, Chief Executive Officer of Grenville Strategic Royalty. Please go ahead, Mr. Tharp.
Thank you, Sean, and good morning and thank you for participating on today's call. I am joined today by Stephen Perry, our Executive Chairman, and Donica Rahill, our Chief Financial Officer. I will provide the highlights of the quarter. Donica will then provide a financial review, which will be followed by a Q&A session. It was a great 3 months for the portfolio. Q3 was our seventh consecutive quarter of record growth since going public. Here are this quarter's key metrics. Record results, revenue of $4.5 million, realized gain on contract buyouts of $2.2 million, adjusted EBITDA of $4.3 million, free cash flow of $2.7 million. Four successful contract buyouts, a previously anticipated revenue stream that has now come to fruition and has contributed $5 million in new realized cash flow to our shareholders, a 40% increase in our monthly dividend, and the confirmation that our balanced diversification strategy is working well, having locked in a meaningful portion of our U.S. foreign exchange gain. The portfolio continues to grow and is generating significant free cash flow, which allows us to return capital to shareholders through dividends. To that end, today the board has declared a 40% increase in the monthly dividend. The November dividend is 0.583 cents, which represents 7 cents per share on an annualized basis. The record date is November 30th, 2015, payable on December 15th, 2015. The board's decision to raise the dividend is consistent with prior guidance and will result in the distribution of significantly less than our target 80% payout ratio. Since the start of Q3, we have announced four contract buyouts. We are delighted by this outcome, which is the result of specific investment choices made over the last 2 years and validates a key structural component of our royalty agreements. Buyouts included WMode in July, $1 million investment we turned into $2.8 million of cash, generating an IRR of 104%, and DS Handling in September, generating a 67% rate of return, both of which we booked in Q3. Subsequent to the end of Q3, we announced and closed both Innovex and Above Security for a 23% and 120% IRR respectively, both of which will be booked in Q4. The average IRR for all four buyouts was 81% and represented a 6.8-year acceleration of royalty cash inflows to Grenville. We're investing in small to medium-sized growth companies with revenues up to $50 million. So while the primary revenue driver of our portfolio to date has been royalty streams, we're seeing an important level of revenue and returns from contract buyouts. As our portfolio matures, we anticipate the contract buyouts will make a regular but somewhat intermittent contribution to our expected revenues and returns. Contract buyouts are not a fluke of nature. They are the result of careful deal structuring and selection by Grenville as a portfolio investor. Post-investment, Grenville proactively participates in generating successful buyouts by supporting our partners both financially and operationally. Above Security is a great contract buyout example. We made five separate investments into Above Security, including two follow-on investments during the acquisition process. We did this to ensure the company was financially secure through to the close of the acquisition. That capital helped attract and maintain a strong acquisition offer from Hitachi, one that provided us with a cash-on-cash return of 2.15 times, representing a 120% IRR and a realized gain of $2.7 million. Which brings me to our key metrics. Our key non-IFRS metric is average royalty payment per million invested, which you'll find on the table located on page 6 of our MD&A. Our average royalty payment per million invested was $250,000 for the month of September, or $242,000 net of an adjustment for two royalty payments as a result of the Innovex contract buyout. Including contract buyouts, September's average royalty payment per million invested was $369,000, of which $127,000 specifically related to the contract buyout of DS Handling. Before contract buyouts, our core portfolio is generating a 25% portfolio IRR. This is a full 10 percentage points above our royalty peer group. Management believes this is a result of our diversification strategy, our 25% contracted minimum royalty structure, and the absence of an upside cap on our royalty structure. Despite this, we trade at an EBITDA multiple of less than half of our peers, and this is before contract buyouts are taken into consideration. As a result of the contract buyouts, this quarter we are establishing a new metric, a rolling 12-month average of total royalty income metric, which is measured on a monthly basis, showing the trend in our revenues over a longer term to reflect the arrival of our anticipated contract buyout revenue. Our rolling 12-month average of total royalty income for the period ended Q3 2015 was $306,000. This number does not include our largest contract buyout to date, Above Security, or Innovex, both of which will be reported in Q4. Grenville is significantly stronger due to this new revenue line, which clearly more than offsets any provisions recorded during prior quarters. We intend to include both metrics on a go-forward basis to provide insight on the underlying performance of both revenue streams, monthly royalty revenue, and the more periodic contract buyout revenue. In terms of deal pace and velocity, we are similar to what we have been in previous quarters, plus a new focus on contract buyouts. We're materially ahead of Q1 and effectively in line with Q2. At the end of October, our average royalty investment was $2.9 million, and our average deal size was $814,000. Previously, we included a credit quality table of the portfolio as required by IFRS. We believe that we are the only royalty company that is required to do this. Credit quality is an imperfect tool for Grenville's business model. It is meant for a lending company, which is not what we are, as it monitors only the downside risk within a given portfolio. Grenville is an investor in companies. Being held to a lending standard is not aligned with our model. For instance, there is no ability to present realized or realizable returns on a credit quality table. Grenville's investment model is significantly enhanced due to the effect of contract buyouts in our revenue stream and is looking to include information that provides this level of transparency. Contract buyouts and the investor-like nature of our business model clearly more than offset any provisions recorded to date under this IFRS standard. Contract buyouts also provide a significant buffer for provisions required moving forward. We're investors in small to medium-sized businesses with revenues up to $50 million, and as such, realized returns contribute a substantial portion of our targeted return over time. In light of this, and based on feedback from shareholders, we have included a portfolio performance profile. You'll find this new table on page 10 of the MD&A. It captures the returns from the contract buyouts, effectively the IRR upside that has been and we believe will continue to be realized for shareholders. We'll continue to disclose the credit-based IFRS requirements, but we believe the portfolio performance profile provides better transparency on actual and anticipated results. What this portfolio performance profile shows is that since December 2014, our investments in categories defined as higher than target have increased from 5.3% to 38.4%, while investments in the categories off target have remained within a narrower band, ending at 7.4% compared to 5.6% in December 2014. This chart gives great insight into the actual realized returns versus the potential downside losses. We're really proud of the strength and the upside potential, which we believe is quite unique to our portfolio. This is what happens when you build a portfolio that has a growing level of diversification, a contractual minimum monthly payment, and no cap on upside returns. We believe the result is directly attributable to our team, solid execution, and the business model that we've developed. With that, Donika will provide an overview of our financial results for the quarter prior to taking questions. Donika.
Thank you, Bill. We reported record results across the board in the third quarter. Revenue was $4.5 million, an increase of more than 400% over the same period last year. Royalty payment income was $2.3 million, up 173% compared to the same period. The increase was driven primarily by the 113% increase in total aggregate investments. Realized gains on contract buyouts for Q3 were $2.2 million, comprised of the WMode and DS handling buyouts. Year-to-date, revenue was $8.4 million, up nearly 500% from last year. Total operating expenses were negative $798,000 for Q3 2015 compared to expenses of $31,000 for the same period last year. This figure includes a net foreign exchange gain of $1.5 million, comprised primarily of an unrealized foreign exchange gain on the translation of royalty agreements acquired in U.S. dollars. Excluding this gain, operating expenses came in at approximately $214,000 per month. We manage our business in a highly disciplined manner with low operating costs and a focus on profitability. Based upon existing operations, we believe there is significant scale within the business operations to manage additional investments with low incremental costs. Looking ahead, we estimate operating expenses to run between $2.4 to $2.8 million on an annualized basis for Q4 2015. We recorded adjusted EBITDA of $4.3 million in Q3 2015 compared to $0.5 million in the same period last year. The increase was due to increased revenue of $3.6 million as a result of $22.6 million in new royalty agreements acquired since the end of September 2014 and the $2.2 million in realized gains from WMode and DS handling contract buyouts. Year to date, adjusted EBITDA was $5.9 million. During Q3, we also recognized $409,000 of recoveries net of collection costs related to the $1 million impairment recorded in Q4 2014 on the APO Group investment. In Q2, we recognized a $1 million impairment provision on a separate investment. While we continue to maintain that provision, that investee continues to operate and is making partial royalty payments while showing increased order volumes. Management does not believe the company is at risk of discontinuing operations in the foreseeable future. We believe that we are very conservative with our impairment provisioning policy. As of September 30, the impairment provision represents 3.5% of the investment portfolio, with no write-offs taken to date. The portfolio has grown, further strengthening our diversification, and we continue to believe that maintaining our conservative approach to our impairment provisioning policy is the most prudent course of action. We generated free cash flow of $2.6 million for Q3. On a year-to-date basis, free cash flow was $3.6 million. Management is confident in the ability of the business to generate free cash flow on an ongoing basis. During Q3, we made aggregate payments of $1.2 million in dividends. As at September 30, 2015, the loans and royalty agreements acquired were $42.7 million, and that has increased to $47.4 million as of today. Working capital was $26.9 million, and our cash position was $20.7 million. As Bill mentioned, subsequent to the end of the period, we have recorded realized gains on the contract buyouts of Above Security and Innovex of $2.74 million. As such, we currently have more than $25.6 million of capital on hand. In summary, we have the financial resources to deliver on the growth opportunities in front of us, both in terms of royalty expansions and new royalty agreements. I will now turn it back over to Bill for his closing thoughts.
Thanks, Donica. Q3 was a very profitable quarter, and we're delighted to provide a 40% increase in dividend to our shareholders. We've constructed a balanced and stable portfolio, diversified between U.S. and Canadian-denominated investments, as well as between cyclical, neutral, and defensive asset classes, and across steady, hybrid, and high-growth companies. Our prospect pipeline is robust. We expect a strong finish in Q4 in terms of new investments and strong financial results. With the Above Security and Innovex contract buyouts already booked in the quarter, we're off to an excellent start. Just this year, we have grown our aggregate portfolio from $24.6 million at the end of Q of 2014 to more than $47.4 million today. We have grown 93% to the end of the third quarter and now have seen the realization of the previously anticipated contract buyouts. As we continue to scale our portfolio, our durable cash flows will continue to grow as well. We also have a strong cash position and the capital on hand to continue to grow. We've closed Q3 with more than $20 million of cash on hand. With the subsequent contract buyouts in Q4, we have $25.6 million dollars in cash today. At the market multiple of our royalty peer group, just the distributable free cash flow generated from deploying this available capital at our traditional royalty rate generates a market cap greater than the market cap of Grenville today. At this time, we would now like to take your questions. Operator, please provide instructions and open the lines.
Thank you, sir. At this time, I would like to advise everyone in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Jeff Fenwick from Cormark Securities. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning, everybody.
Morning, Jeff. Morning.
Just wanted to... maybe just start off with a bit of a deal flow update. Bill, you mentioned that you've been active through the fourth quarter in terms of negotiating or looking at deal opportunities. You've only closed one so far, so you're feeling pretty good about maybe some news on the way here through the end of the year. You know, you've got a lot of cash there, and one of the challenges is just deploying that.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks for the question. The deals during the quarter, we've effectively closed in Q. Since the end of the quarter, we've closed six deals. There was the two deals that we had as new deals, Medallion and Agnity, and then we had the contract buyouts. Since the end of the quarter, we've had the one new deal, which is Agnity. Deal flow, we're feeling confident about. We've got two new team members, Annie and Stephanie, and their impact has been positive. So the forecast for the balance of the year, we're expecting a strong finish through the balance of the year, Jeff.
And then obviously nice to see a dividend increase, but maybe there's a lot of moving parts in the quarter when we look at EBITDA and cash flow given the buyouts and how those can be episodic in nature. So how are you thinking about the payout here versus run rate cash flows? Are you modeling it based on over the next several quarters, one or two buyouts, or is this really based upon sort of run rate and where the business is today?
Yeah, first off, Jeff, we're really pleased with having the ability to increase the dividend by the 40%. As you know, when we started the dividend structure, we started that effectively in July of 2014, and we approached it on a pooled basis. So effectively, we started to pool capital available for specifically for distribution around a dividend. By February 2015, we had a portfolio or a pool that was large enough to start to service the portfolio at the 5-cent annualized number. The approach that we've taken on the 40% increase has been done effectively on the exact same basis. The board takes a very prudent and conservative approach to managing the dividend, and it, definitely the contributions from the contract buyouts have been important as part of it, but it's the overall blend of the underlying portfolio plus the contract buyouts that drive the equation. Moving forward, the board's given effectively guidance that says we'll strive towards an 80% payout ratio over the course of the year, and we'll take a consistent kind of guidance as to what the balance of the pool is at any one point in time. And as you know, the pool itself, it's paid monthly, so the board actually opines on a monthly basis. But there's quite a significant excess amount in that pool today.
Okay. And I guess that is the key, because we want to make sure that you're not too close to the line here if there's not a buyout, and we're looking at just the build of new deals over the next year, that you're on track with your plan.
Yeah, I think controlled operating costs, Jeff, and keeping to the same pattern that we've had historically, controlled operating costs, keep adding deals. You know, the pattern of 1 to 3 deals per month, one to three million per deal. And if we're 2 to 3 million and it's a U.S. dollar deal, that deploys a lot of capital. That really keeps that base cash flow moving.
Okay. And wanted to talk a bit more about the buyout model. Obviously, that's a big feature here in the quarter and through Q4. Maybe you could just give us a little bit of color with this becoming more, obviously more meaningful or more apparent as you build the portfolio. What is the logic here, or maybe the philosophy around how you structure those contracts to negotiate those exits? And when we look at the returns that you've generated, they vary pretty significantly across the different investments there. So what's the approach to structuring contracts, and what's the quantum of things you're looking at when you're negotiating that exit on a case-by-case basis?
Sure. Jeff, as you know, we modeled the effect of contract buyouts into our model when we started Grenville. Although we've always kept it, we'd kept it at zero until we started to see the numbers kicking in. So Q3 2015 is the first quarter we've seen the full effect, and in quite simple terms, they have a great impact, very, very positive. However, we'd caution that they are intermittent, highly profitable, but intermittent. That was also kind of a refocus for management in the quarter on a highest and best use of time for just generating great value for the company. Let me just run through very quickly how they work. Most contracts have an arrangement where the royalty agreement can be bought out under certain circumstances. Typically, it's an outright change of control acquisition format. That would be like above security or purchased by Hitachi. Or W mode, which was purchased by App Carousel. And App Carousel was backed by the Demaray family and Peter Thiel, the co-founder of PayPal out of San Francisco. Those were clear acquisition outrights, where it was a formula, quite straightforward. Another one, which was a bit of a variation on the theme, but you can see how it would trigger effectively the same way, is DS handling. That was succession planning. So that was two brothers trying to find a transition for their company, and effectively it manifested itself with a change of control, but slightly different metrics around it. Innovex was quite a unique situation. That was management of a company that was effectively shifting offshore and didn't fit our portfolio to the same extent. What was interesting was our contract gave a great framework for negotiations. And then we back up and say, okay, those are each individual deals. Now let's look at it on a portfolio basis. So now we have the benefit of saying we've got four under our belt. We have a portfolio effect working in this end of the portfolio. So I think it'll be evolutionary, Jeff, as to how the pattern starts to appear. But again, it will be intermittent in nature, but highly profitable. Between those four deals, we've netted back about $12 million and $5 million of capital gain, which is a fantastic impact to the company.
Okay, man. I guess you really am just trying to drive at, if you had one that were able to negotiate a fairly significantly lower return hurdle, you don't get in a situation where guys are trying to bid you lower, as long as it's sort of case by case and there is a formula there and you have a contractual mechanism for calculating the return.
Yeah, Jeff, I tell you, I look at the returns that are being generated in the marketplace, and when we can put down $2.1 million and pull out $2.7 million for a return, if that's the lower end of our threshold, I'm loving our model. You know, if that's the lower end of our threshold, you know, the average IRR across this was 81%. At 25%, we're 10% above our peers. At 81%, the number is very substantial. So again, I think the strategy we always have here, it's about the portfolio mix and the balance.
Okay, great. Well, that's it for me.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Trevor Johnson from National Bank. Your line is open.
Hey, morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Trevor.
Morning, Trevor.
Just wonder if you can give any color on revenue growth, top-line performance from any of your partner companies. I know you're not breaking that out specifically, but just some general commentary would be helpful.
Yeah, we get a fairly granular profile in that area, Trevor, and I'd say it's, you're not seeing hyper growth out there. There are pockets of it. Again, you have to recognize we're highly diversified. We're infrastructure, we're healthcare, we're construction. There's a whole bunch of different things. There are one or two areas that are growing quite well, one or two that are softer. Overall, we're seeing a decent growth pattern. I think we'll probably, moving forward, we've been looking at trying to find metrics that we can put into a format that are useful. As the portfolio grows, I think one thing that's really advantageous to us is just sheer diversification. We're not highly correlated to any one specific sector.
That's great. In terms of focal points, maybe just break down U.S., Canada. Is it still U.S. where the majority of your capital is probably going to be looking to be deployed in the next, say, 6 to 12?
Yeah, very opportunistic, Trevor, in terms of where we're headed. Again, as transactions come in, we're always sorting to the best quality deal. Occasionally, we'll knock a deal sideways, partly because we want to close something else. Our natural stance is defensive in nature. Right now, if we had a choice, we'd probably go, like it was just one pure investment, it would be Canadian dollar defensive, I think. I think we have a natural defensive stance in our positioning. And then balance. The area that we're also taking a very careful look at is the attributes around the companies that have now exited the portfolio. What was the secret sauce there? So we are looking to see if we can replace some more of those great structures into the portfolio. And again, the quality of the deals that are coming in, like the Agnities, the Medallions, the Expert Homes, things like that, we've got some really, really exciting companies in the portfolio.
And if you, in terms of this takeout and obviously how beneficial it is for the company and for shareholders, have you changed any mechanisms in how you are, you gave some good commentary with Jeff's question, but in terms of how you're actually structuring these contracts from a takeout standpoint, is there anything that's different that you're doing now or that you know now versus when you started a year and a half, 2 years ago?
Well, I think there's been a lot of, as you know, Trevor, we're continually fine-tuning anything and everything. But there haven't been any what I'd call pivotal shifts because of the contract buyouts. There are obviously, when you go through negotiations, there are certain attributes which are more under the kind of microscope. But I don't think there have been any dramatic shifts that we've gone through in the structure itself. We're really pleased with the instrument we designed at the front end, and then it's been just periodic tightening throughout with every transaction. So there's definitely, I'd say there's been some fine-tuning, but it's been fine-tuning, not dramatic shifts.
Got it. And then you have staffed up, added some more talent. Just curious where you stand maybe going into 2016 if you're looking to add any new bodies or if that's probably, for the most part, done at this stage.
No, I think we will add one or two more bodies during the course of 2016. Particularly Dotica on the financial side, it's important that we've got a really good back end to the company. The deal team side of the equation, we've got a really good partnership structure here. We've got a growing and strengthening VP investment level. I think there will be it won't be big additions, but there will be strategic additions throughout 2016.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Trevor.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of David Quezada from Raymond James. Your line is open.
Thanks, guys. Morning.
Morning, David.
I guess kind of similar to what Trevor just asked. Now that the portfolio exits have become, you know, it seems like a pretty material earnings stream, does that change your due diligence process at all? Are you, the way you source deals, are you looking at them a little bit differently with maybe an eye to, you know, a successful exit at some point, or have you pretty much stayed the same given that you've had good success there so far?
Yeah, I don't think the stance has changed too much, David. You know, I kind of look back over the last quarter. It's been a busy quarter for all of us, fantastically busy in a very constructive way. I think we're, you know, it hasn't changed our due diligence process. I think it's a market sense. Like, I think the partners, all of us are looking at each one of the companies as they come in to say, could that thing qualify as a contract buyout opportunity? And part of it is, to a certain extent, a sixth sense. It's our investment style. We also love to co-invest with people. So we're not a solo investor. We get a lot of our signals from partners that we work with, whether it's investment firms or other people. So that's a material factor to us as well in terms of trying to find, you know, those better companies. Due diligence process hasn't changed, though, I don't think is part of it. No.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
I know that you as a team spent some time sort of digging through the portfolio to look for these portfolio exit candidates. Is that still a focus of your time, or have you sort of, you know, reverted to outward-looking deals at this point?
Yeah, I think the target is to actually get back to a new norm. And it's interesting. We're always getting to a new norm in this company. We knew contract buyouts were coming. We weren't willing to say it too much because when you're talking returns like the ones we've seen, if you talk about it in advance of it being done, you don't service yourself well at all. Now that we've seen them and we know how to transact around them, we can service them, I think, accordingly. Now, the months that we're looking for, the quarters we're looking for, is where we've got a balance between the two. But again, there's an intermittent nature to the contract buyouts, and they will be more difficult to forecast. Over longer periods, kind of rolling 12 months, you'll see some type of an effect. And David, that's why if you look at our table, the average royalty per $1 million invested table, there's a new line we have in there on rolling revenue. So if you look at the rolling revenue at the end of September 2015, the number was 306,000. So
yeah.
That actually shows it takes that peaky effect. Oh, we love the peaky effect. Like, it's fantastic. And the impact in the next quarter for above security is even more powerful. But what that creates is volatility. Nobody likes volatility in the capital market. So we use that pool effect. We'll moderate that. We'll service the dividend and everything else accordingly. But that revenue is very important.
Okay, great. I guess my last question, do you see any, given the attractive returns you guys are realizing, do you see any new competitors coming into the space? Is that something that you monitor? And how, you know, would you ever consider, I don't know, acquiring sort of an up-and-coming competitor? How would you view that?
Acquisitions, that's an interesting question. Nothing on the radar screen under consideration at this point in time. We would candidly love to see other people in the marketplace. If you look at our market size, David, it's 400,000 companies in the market that we've delineated in the U.S. alone, and we're one royalty company out there with a modest checkbook. The venture capital market world has about 75,000, kind of an audience of 75,000 transactions and 1,500 venture capital firms who don't bump into one another. Sometimes they partner, but, you know, there's one of us in our marketplace. We'd love to see more people in this market. We think it's a great model, and I think it's a great form of capital for entrepreneurs. You know, that's the thing that really gets us up in the morning, is being excited about the entrepreneurs we get to put capital behind. Like, you know, Bob Woodward at WMode, the family at DS Handling, Innovex, Above Securities, those are all CEOs and companies that we backed on an ecosystem basis. So, you know, that's the big fun for us. We'd hope that there are a lot more competitors to come, though, David.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. That's all I had.
That's great. Thanks.
There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Tharp, I turn the call back to you.
Well, thank you very much, and we look forward to the next quarter.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.